Well, we come to the line in the evenings on the book of Ephesians. And this is very, very precious. And I hope you all would stay exercised and awake. And watch out, I might pick on you if you don't. Right, Andrew?
Yeah,
amen. Yeah, that Andrew too, yeah. Anyway, listen, this is, you know, we're covering every chapter in the book of Ephesians.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think many of you know what's covered in each chapter, or at least seven aspects of the church in the book of Ephesians. And what are they? Number one, you see the church as the body of Christ.
Amen.
Let's all say that, the body of Christ.
Body of Christ.
How about
body of Christ.
The church has what?
The body of Christ.
And then secondly, the church has the new man, the one new man. And then thirdly, the church as the, what, household? Household of God.
Amen.
And then also, which is his family. Then also after that, the church as the kingdom, right? And then also, the church as what? No, not yet. Those are the aspects in chapter 2, the new man, the kingdom, and the household, and also the dwelling place of God. Yeah, that's the very end of chapter 2. And then also in chapter 5, you have the church as the bride of Christ. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, you have the church as the warrior, the corporate warrior. And so in this chapter, we're covering the body of Christ as the fullness. The church is the body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. And the title here is really special. I hope you would appreciate this. Could we all look at the heading and read? First of all, you have the revelation of the mystery, the economy of God in Ephesians. And then read this title all together. God's economy to head up all things in Christ through the church. So you have God's economy to head up all things in Christ through the church. And this is a strange term. Several terms may be strange to you. Number one, the economy, God's economy. And then there's also this phrase, to head up all things in Christ. What does this mean? Well, I want you to know, I just want to give you a little testimony to begin with. When I heard this message, and what was it, 1976, 78, something? 78. It revolutionized my life. It touched me very deeply, and I'm hoping that what I touched and what I sense and what I feel and what I've enjoyed would be conveyed to you. I want you to be impressed that God's economy is to head up everything in the universe in Christ. And I'd like for you to know what it is to be headed up. Because after I had heard this message, I took a walk. And in my conversation with the Lord, I just prayed, Lord, I want to be headed up. Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to be headed up. You have to realize God has a need. He has a need that there would be ones who would be willing to be headed up, so that he can ultimately head up everything in the universe. And so it starts with the church. And I would say more specifically, it starts with me and starts with you. So let me ask you, do you want to be headed up?
Amen.
You may not even know what that means, but Lord, head us up.
Amen.
Lord, so you can head up everything in the universe. Isn't it good to be part of the biggest thing going on in the universe?
Amen.
I mean, you guys are so privileged.
Right.
I mean, you're not only age turners. You're on the track to be overcomers.
Right.
But listen, you're also, you can have a part in heading up everything in the universe in Christ by your willingness to go along with him and allow him to head you up. Let's all pray, Lord, head me up.
Lord,
head me up. Okay, let's go to the first Roman numeral. Let me just read this to you. And hopefully you can get some feeling here. And so, even some insight. According to his good pleasure, the triune God has an eternal economy to dispense himself into his chosen and redeemed people to make them the same as he is in life and nature and to make them his duplication that they may express him. Now that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Mike, you ready to explain that? No, okay. I'm not going to. Listen, first of all, I want you to circle his good pleasure. Let's all say it. His good pleasure. And while you're at it, look at the point under that, A, B, C, and D, and find good pleasure and circle it in every letter. You see it?
Yeah.
Good pleasure, good pleasure, good pleasure, good pleasure. God has a good pleasure. Even that alone, you just say, oh, God has a good pleasure.
Yeah.
Wow, there's something that makes him happy.
Amen.
Can you imagine that the one who created the whole universe... There's something that just makes him happy. It's the delight of his heart. He has a good pleasure. And out of that good pleasure, he had a will. He had an intention. And for that, to work it all out, he had a plan. And his plan is his economy. It's his household arrangement. It's his sweet... stewardship to dispense himself into man.
Right.
Are you with me?
Amen.
He has a delight. Something delights him. And the way he's going to get what he desires is what? Dispensing. He's going to do it by dispensing himself into man. Can you believe that God, the God of the whole universe, who made everything, he decided... And this because it made him so happy that he would have a plan to dispense himself into his chosen and redeemed people to make them the same as he is. Oh, there should be amen. There should be some feeling here. Okay, let me ask you. Do you have a good pleasure? Is there something that's some big delight? Nathan Cho, is there some big pleasure, some design, some delight? Nathan Wu. Nathan, any great desire that you want to accomplish that will really make you happy? Okay, let me give you an example. When I was around 17, 18, and I did not have aspirations. I'm a kid from Texas. I had no aspirations to go to Harvard or anything like that. My aspiration, some of you have heard this, is I want to dunk a basketball. I want to be able to dunk. Now, some of you may not appreciate that, but some of you may. But that was my heart's desire. I dreamed of it. I thought about it all the time. I worked at it. I practiced jumping every day. I got encouraged because I had long arms. And, 6'4". So I thought... okay, I'm going to be 6'4 one day, so I'm going to get ready. But it seemed like as I got toward end of high school, I quit growing, and I didn't quite reach 6 foot. I couldn't even say I'm 6 foot. 5'11 and a half. It just sounds terrible. But my arms are 6'4", so I still had the good pleasure, the heart's desire to... fly through the air and dunk a basketball. This is my good pleasure. And so I practiced every day. Practice. I practiced jumping. And at school they had these little pegs and you could see how high you're getting. Ah, 10-3. Ah, 10-6. 10-9. Something like that. Anyway, I got up there higher and higher and higher. And guess what? My good pleasure came. The day came. I fulfilled my heart's desire. I could dunk a basketball. Nobody believes it, but it's true. You can't see it anymore. It's over. Those days are over. And I just say all that. You know, that's what this kid just wanted. You know, I just wanted to dunk a basketball. It's all I dreamed about. I played all the time, so that's what I wanted. Well, the Lord has something higher than that. Right? Hanley, what's the highest thing in the universe that God desires?
To dispense himself with the man.
Oh, he loves this. He has a plan of dispensing himself. Let's just say that, himself. He wants to dispense himself into his chosen and redeemed people.
Amen.
That's a sweet desire. That includes us. Guess what? We're chosen. Are you chosen?
Amen.
Let's all say, I am chosen.
I am chosen.
And I think you saw it in Ephesians 1. We were chosen before the foundation of the world. Doesn't that make you crazy? Come on, David, isn't that craziness? We were, I can't believe it. Do you realize the planet, before it even came into being, before the earth was formed, how old is the earth? Nobody knows, really. But it's way back in time, right? Guess what? His thoughts were towards you. He chose you before the foundation of the world. You were selected. Just say it sweetly. I'm selected.
I'm
chosen by God.
I'm chosen by God.
Oh, I was in his thoughts before the world came into being.
Wow.
Isn't that marvelous? So, this makes me want to just go back over the Roman numeral. Can we all read it together? Roman numeral 1. According to his good pleasure, the triune God has an eternal economy to dispense himself into his chosen and redeemed people, to make them the same as he is, life and nature, and to make them his duplication, that they may express him. See, can you believe he would dispense himself into us to the extent? I mean, this is just awesome. You know what we're like. We're just a mess. But he would dispense himself into us till we're the same as he is. That is, his thoughts become our thoughts. His feelings, his emotions, his loves become our love. His hate, what he hates, we hate. What he chooses, we choose. He's our choice again and again. This is marvelous. What he is in his virtues become our attributes. Wow. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
We become the same as he is.
Amen.
In life and in nature. There's just so much in that one statement. And then his desire is that he would be expressed. Expressed, right? You have one of the... We'll get to it later. Okay, let's go on to point A. From eternity past, our living, loving, and purposeful God has had a good pleasure. And of course, you see it in the verses that some of you memorize in Ephesians 1:5. Hopefully all of you have. 5 and 9. He has a good pleasure, good pleasure. And then B, it says, God's good pleasure, his heart's desire, is to have many sons who are the reproduction of the firstborn. He wants many sons. You know, if you're a father and you have no sons, or I should say not sons, but even no children, you're really not that, you're kind of poor. But the Father, God, he wants many children. He wants many, many, many. You know, I have 5 girls. Guess what? I'm pretty rich. I'm rich. I've got wealth. How many do you have, David?
2.
Not enough. 5. Guess what? They have kids. So I've got grandchildren. That's grand, see. That's why they say that, right? It's a grand thing to have children. That has to do with your wealth, you know. Anyway, it's okay if you don't. But in the Scripture, it's a big thing, according to the Scripture. Let me go on to point B. Well, we're already there. He wants a corporate expression, and your sons express you. You know what I mean? This is the Father. The kids all express you. Well, then, I'm getting to a point here. It's for his corporate expression of the triune God in Christ through the church, the body of Christ. There's a verse here. Well, there's several verses. But in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, do you remember what those were? Ephesians 1, 22, 23? You want to quote them?
Accepted all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body,
right,
the fullness of the one who fills all in all.
So you have to see that this one, his desire is fullness. The church, the body of Christ, ultimately will be fullness, meaning it will be his expression to the uttermost. You know, what is your name again, brother?
Marquise.
Yeah, Marquise. Could you stand up? There was this example given, and this is not to be negative. It's just he's a big man. And actually, he's the fullness of America. Have you ever thought about that? The church, as the body of Christ, is the fullness of the one who fills all in all. The church is full; has fullness. This is what the Lord wants. He wants us to be so full that there's an expression. Well, look at Marquise. He's full. He's been eating American diet. What have you been eating? What did you grow up on?
A lot of steaks.
Oh, see? There you go. Steak, probably potatoes. Steak and potatoes. There you go. The American diet. Yeah. And look at it. You know, put your arms like this. Yeah, okay. Anyway, that's good. You know, if you're a big person, you're just an expression, you know, of what you've taken into you. Actually, the riches have gotten into Marquise. The riches of America have gotten in, and now he expresses the riches. You see what I'm saying? So that's the church. The church is the fullness. It's the fullness of the one who fills all in all. He wants to fill us to the uttermost. Well, he wants such an expression. This really is his desire. But let's move on. Also, there's this verse here, Romans 8, 29, which you should be familiar with. This is the one where he foreknew, right. He foreknew us,
right.
And he predestinated us predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So you have to realize God wants many sons, but the prototype is his Son. So he predestinated us unto what? Sonship. This is our destiny. What is your destiny? What are you going to look like, Mike, one day?
Christ.
Yes, you got the right answer, right? It's good. You know what? We're on the way. We're on the way. We're being conformed to the image of his Son.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And let's read this all together. God's good pleasure, which is embodied in his will, issued in his purpose, his determined intent. Okay, then D, let's read this. Based upon his good pleasure, will, and purpose, God made a plan, an economy, a whole administration and arrangement to dispense and work himself into his chosen people. So again, we've mentioned this. His good pleasure, his will, his purpose. Because of that, he made a plan, an economy. You know, the little word oikonomia, it's the anglicized, you know, word for, it's economy for that Greek word. And it means a household administrator. Back at that time, back in the ancient days, you had a royal family. They had a steward who distributed and dispensed the riches of the father to all those in the household. And that's the context of this. Oikonomia is really a stewardship. It's a dispensing arrangement. It's an arrangement. It's a plan to distribute the riches to the household.
Right.
Aren't you glad you're in the household?
Amen.
In the household, what's happening? We're enjoying God's economy.
Amen.
It's His plan to dispense Himself into each and every one of us.
Amen.
Isn't that sweet?
Amen.
Listen, he doesn't get what He's after by outward rules and regulation.
Right.
He gets what He wants in this universe. His good pleasure is worked out by dispensing the riches of His grace into our being. That the unsearchable riches of Christ would be dispensed into us. You know, as the gospel, you see this dispensing in that one verse. The gospel is a dispensing of the riches. He wants to dispense.
Amen.
Okay, so what does God want?
To dispense.
He wants to what?
To dispense.
Dispense what?
Himself.
Yes.
Right.
So what is this? I really enjoyed this one guy that we were enjoying God's economy, and I asked him, so what is God's economy?
Yeah.
Well, it's like God is a philanthropist, and He's got all this wealth, and He wants to distribute it to us. He wants to give us all His wealth. Not bad, right? That's really right.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, His economy is He wants to distribute all that He is to us. Saints, who else knows this? Who's aware of this?
Yeah.
You see this in the New Testament that Paul warned Timothy not to teach other things than God's economy.
Right.
Stay away from other teachings that don't fulfill God's heart's desire.
Right.
What fulfills His heart's desire is us involved in His economy.
Amen.
We don't want to miss God's economy. His economy is to dispense Himself into us.
Amen.
Even right now, I don't want to give you teaching. Lord, save me. I want you to get God.
Amen.
What do you want?
God.
What do you need?
God.
What do you love?
God.
What do you enjoy?
God.
God. This is what He wants to give us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're here under His dispensing ministry. It works out what's on His heart. But let's go on, okay? Then we have point D. No, we just read that. Okay, Roman numeral 2. Let's go on. Ephesians 1 reveals that the hidden mystery in God's eternal economy is that God desires to head up all things in Christ through the church. So in Roman number 1, we see He has a heart's desire, He has a good pleasure, and that is to have an economy to dispense Himself into us. Have you got that? So if I ask anybody, what's Roman numeral 1 all about? What would you say, Bill?
God's dispensing for His economy.
Amen. Amen. To fulfill His what? His good pleasure. Yeah. Okay. Wow, I got the test, Bill. That's pretty amazing.
Wait till the training comes.
No. Better be careful here. Okay. Then, in Roman number 2, I want you to circle this one, at least this one phrase, hidden mystery. The hidden mystery. That's what Ephesians 1 reveals. It reveals the hidden mystery in God's eternal economy. Is what? This is big. What is the hidden mystery? You know, God is a mystery. The universe is a mystery. But He had the desire to make known to us the mystery of His will. Can you believe the God of the universe? He wanted people to know the mystery of His will that was hidden in Him. Well, He's made it known through the apostles and prophets. Through the apostles. Now we know what was in His heart. It was hidden for so long. Well, what is it? If you'll look at those, I hope you would look at those two verses or pay attention to them, Ephesians 1, 9, and 10. If you look at the way it's constructed, you have making known to us the mystery of His will. Then you have a kind of a parenthetical phrase, or is that what you call it? And it starts with, you can put a parenthesis around, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself under the economy of the fullness of the times, in parentheses.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what you have then is making known to us the mystery of His will to what? Head up all things in Christ. See, so the other is just a kind of a parenthetical phrase. Which is marvelous, because what does it say? He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself unto the economy of the fullness of time, to what?
Head up.
All things in Christ.
Head up what?
All things in Christ.
That just sounds impossible. How could he head up all things? How could we be involved in that? We're a mess. But this is his desire. This is what he wants to reveal. This is the hidden mystery. God's eternal intention, this is A, is to head up all things in Christ, who has been appointed to be the universal head. He's been appointed to be the head. He's been inaugurated, you know, as head of the universe. You know, he's head. He's Lord. All authority has been given to him. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. It's all been given to him. The Father subjected everything under him, right? Everything is under his feet. And he's the head. Well, his intention is to head up all things in him, who's appointed to be the universal head. Then B, let's all read this together. God has blessed us, chosen us, predestinated us, redeemed us, forgiven us, and graced us for the purpose of heading up all things in Christ. So if you look at those verses in chapter 1 of Ephesians, what do you see? You see at the very beginning, he blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Then what did he do? He chose us. Again, don't you love that word, chosen? We got a group of sisters. Sorry, everybody's chosen. We're all in that group. Chosen. Tell your neighbor, chosen. Amen. It's true. You're chosen. You're chosen. No, you are too. Hallelujah. Saints, we're chosen.
Amen.
And that's not all. We were predestinated. We were predestinated unto sonship. Sonship. This is what he's marked us out with, this destiny. Brothers, what is your destiny?
Sonship.
Wow. This is your destiny. Saints, aren't you the greatest people in the universe? I mean, where else do you want to be? You want to be a CEO somewhere? That's okay. It's not anything close to this. This is tops. This is tops. Now then, I'm not... let me just go on through here. We were chosen. We were predestinated. Then what did he do? He redeemed us. He forgave us. He redeemed us to his blood. And there's the forgiveness of sins. He graced us in the beloved. And then what? All of this for the purpose of heading up all things in Christ. Did you get this? Why were you chosen? It's for the purpose of heading up all things in Christ. Why were you predestinated? Tell me. That's right. That's right. Why were you redeemed? I thought it was to get cleansed. Cleansed is good. What about forgiven? Wonderful. But still, that's not the goal. The goal is that he could head us all up. We would give him the way to head up everything in the universe. Okay. Now then, I want to. This matter of heading up, I'm not sure when to use this illustration. Let me go on to Roman numeral 3, and then maybe this will help. Okay, let's all read number 3. Okay? Goal is to corrupt God's creation, to cause confusion, and to cause the universe to become a heap of collapse. I really like this phrase, a heap of collapse. What happens when a building falls down? It's just a heap of collapse. Collapses, and what do you have? A heap. You know. And then point A says what? Let's read this. When Satan injected himself into man, Satan became death and darkness to man. Sin brings in death. Death brings in darkness. And darkness brings in confusion. So B, altogether, the entire universe is a heap of collapse, caused by Satan's injecting himself as a factor of death into God's creation. So, okay, I told him I would do this. Okay, Andrew, stand up. he represents all of the human race. What happened to the human race? First of all, before him, there was the angelic race, the angelic ones. They rebelled. Big problem in the universe. Then man rebelled. Then what happened? Man got injected. Now, stay there. This is what happened in the universe. That's you. Tell your neighbor, that's you. What is that down there? That is a heap of collapse. I really wanted to get a bunch of brothers, you know, just go collapse on, you know, just. But we'll just. Nathan, come on, brother. Just fall on top of him, brother. Just fall on him. Yeah. Okay. What do you have? So you have another person. Nathan, you're dead. These guys are dead. They have been injected by Satan. Sin came in. Sin brought in death, darkness, and confusion. If you're dead, is there any? Do you have any light down there?
No.
You're just sin, death, darkness, confusion. If it were darkness, you don't know what's going on. Listen, this is what happened to the human race. This is what he's talking about. There was a heap of collapse that came in through the fall of man. And what Christ wants to do is what? He wants to head up.
Amen.
Head up.
Amen.
Everything in Christ.
Amen.
And he has to start with somebody. And you know who he's looking to? He's looking to the church.
Amen.
And he's looking personally, I'd say, to you and me. So Nathan, what does Nathan need? Nathan needs, you know, a factor of death hit them. And now they've collapsed. Now, are you all in a collapse?
Yes.
Yeah, we're all in a collapse.
Right.
I mean, you know, look at Andrew in his test. What was in the testing? You realize, Andrew, you're just part of the collapse, brother. But I say that because we're all there. You know, okay, some of you, okay, Nathan, kind of get on top. Okay, listen. The whole collapse, guess what happens? In the collapse of the universe, some are higher than others. Right? Okay, Andrew, you're just a student at Northeastern, right? Nathan, he's a CEO of a startup company. He's already making millions. Now, who's higher? But what is he higher than? So what? He's still part of the heap of collapse. He's just all part of the heap. It doesn't matter. You're the president of the United States. You're just higher in the heap. Where are you? It doesn't matter. You're just in the heap of collapse. Okay, and I would say this. Even as believers, often this is where we are. What do we need? We need the factor of life.
Amen.
We need life. So I'll say that we need life. Okay, the gospel comes to Nathan. Nathan hears the gospel, the good news concerning Christ, who redeemed him, paid a price for him. And guess what? Nathan believes and he receives, calling on the Lord. What happens, Nathan? You get. That's all.
That's it.
Yeah. No, just stay there. He's still part of the. Just because you get saved doesn't mean you're out of the collapse. Okay, maybe you need to preach the gospel to him. So he preaches the gospel. Nathan and Andrew calls on the Lord. Oh, look at that. Now, there's still a collapse. They're still just in the collapse. But they're getting brought out. How do you get out of the collapse? What?
Lie.
I love this. How do we get out of the collapse?
Life.
Life. What do you need?
Life.
You need more life. You need someone as a life factor to bring you out of the collapse. So what do you need? You need some dispensing. That's right. You need more dispensing. Mike, what are you going to do? You've been brought out. What do you do? Give him life. Ask him to sing a song with you. Yeah. Saying, I want to be filled. I want to be filled. Okay, get up on your knees. Oh, that's better. See, he's coming up. Okay, you got to bring him out. Help your brother. Oh, yeah, there we go. Now you got. It's still a collapse. Okay. Okay, that's good. Now then, maybe you ought to start going to the meetings. How about that? Yeah, y'all need to get to the meetings. Oh, that's too far. Right there. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. We just need to keep being brought out. Okay, that's good, buddies. We need to be brought out again and again and again. More dispensing, exactly. This is what his economy is. His economy is fulfilling what is on his heart to dispense more of himself as life into us. And the more life that is dispensed into us, the more we're brought out of the heap of collapse. Does that make sense?
Amen.
You got it?
Yeah.
You sure?
Amen.
Maybe I should pick on someone. Okay, Hanley, why don't you just describe what I just shared with you? Stand up and share the same thing. Just, what is God's economy now to you? You don't have to look.
No. God's economy is to save us all from the great heap of collapse by dispensing himself into us and giving us life.
Amen. It's good. Good. Amen. Okay. Yep, you have it. Ricky? What is the point that I'm just trying to make?
We need more life.
Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
We need more what?
Life.
Okay, let's go on to the outline again. So, point C under 3 says what? God is working to liberate his creation from bondage and to bring it into liberty by heading up all things in Christ. Amen. Okay, so really we come to point 4, which is really a lot of the burden is right here. Okay? Altogether, we all need to be delivered from the heap of collapse and to be headed up in Christ. So circle delivered and then headed up in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So A says, the collapse of the universe caused by the rebellion of Satan and the fall of man gives God an excellent opportunity to manifest his wisdom. Right? It's a... What do you see all over the earth today? You see rebellion.
Yeah.
You see rebellion. And rebellion brings in sin and death and darkness and confusion. This is what you see everywhere. There's just rebellion in man. What was there with the angels and satanic host is with man. And now man has the same problem. We're rebellious. Don't you realize that? I hope we all would realize that. I am so rebellious. Man is rebellious. Even I'm at Harvard. And there's some that we share the Lord with, and they see something wonderful of Christ. There's one I'm thinking about in particular, and he enjoyed seeing Christ, and he enjoyed the community. He loved it. Everybody was happy and enjoying, and it was just precious. But one problem. In order for him to have it, he would have to give up being Lord. You notice, he wants to stay king of his life and not come under anyone. I mean, he's intelligent. He's strong. He's in control of his life. So, yoga, maybe that'll help. But he would not give in to the Lord in a full way because he wants to be on the throne. He doesn't want to come under Christ. So there's just rebellion. Just rebels against it. And we're all like that. You know, what if you don't enjoy the Lord and someone says, let's go to the meeting? You talking to me? You know, I don't know. There's something in us all the time that just rebels. We have a rebellious nature. And the Lord wants to deliver us from this kind of rebellion and head us up out of Christ. It says the collapse of the universe caused by the rebellion of Satan and the fall of man. Oh, yeah, we already read that. Now, B, let's all read this. God's economy is accomplished through the dispensing of the abundant life supply of the triune God as the life factor into all the members of the church, that they may rise up from the death situation and be attached to the body. Now, you can circle life factor and rise up. Praise the Lord. His economy is accomplished through the dispensing. Amen. Let's all say that again. Dispensing.
Dispensing.
And what is he dispensing?
Himself.
The triune God. The rich supply of himself. And this is the life factor that all the members of the church need, that they can rise up out of the death situation. Don't you need life again and again and again? Don't we need the ministry of life, the dispensing of life? You know, we have to get practical here pretty quick.
Right.
You know, what does this all look like?
Yeah.
What does it look like to be headed up?
Yeah. Right.
Anybody have some ideas? What it looks like? What does it look like, Nathan, to be headed up?
That's a good question.
Maybe you should ask somebody. What does it look like to be headed up, Dan?
I'm not sure either.
Well, you could always ask your dad over here, Andrew.
Brother,
that's okay. Well, let's, you know, when life comes, it causes us to rise up out of the death situation.
Yeah.
Haven't you had experiences like that?
Yeah.
You just think about your experience. You touch life. You got life. You called on the Lord. You sang to the Lord. Something. You pray, read some verses. You took a walk, talked to the Lord. And after that, there's something rising up in you out of death. Maybe you were in a death situation and you just, I'm so tired of being dead. And you just got there and you started talking to the Lord. Next thing you know, you're out of life. You're out of the death situation a little bit, right? You kind of sense life is flowing. This is good, you know. And you rise up out of the death situation. This is to be headed up in Christ.
Amen.
You know, I'm just going back. Some of you heard my testimony. And I'm just thinking of, you know, one situation where it says you rise up and you get out of the death situation. You get attached to the body.
Yeah.
Even you enjoy the Lord. And what happens? You want to go be with believers.
Right.
You know, I wasn't in the church life. I came in during the college years when I came to the church life. But I was seeking. And this is after I'd been in the world and so forth. And those were the hippie days. And I just remember, you know, there was a lot of music that was just big to me. Big at that time. But you know what? As the Lord began to, I enjoyed the Lord. I got life.
Amen.
Guess what happened? I wanted to be with the believers. I just was looking, where are the believers? You know, next thing you know, I got rid of all that music, but I'm not just going to give it up. You know, I got to have something else. What else? It's the believers. Where are the Christians? Where are the saints? Where should I go meet? I want to be with others. I want to be with the body of Christ. I didn't realize what I needed and what I wanted. All I know is that I was enjoying the Lord and I had to be with others. Doesn't that match some of you may not know, you do, but generally that's the case, right?
Yeah.
If you enjoy the Lord before the meeting, you want to go to the meeting.
Yeah.
What if you don't enjoy the Lord? You just stay there in the collapse, right?
Yeah.
You don't go to the meeting.
Right.
Well, we need to enjoy the Lord. We need life to get out of that situation. Now then, there's a picture in Ezekiel 37, which I think is just tremendous. And I'm just going to read some of this to you. It's okay. In Ezekiel 37, there's a perfect, a really great picture. And this is 37:1. The hand of Jehovah came upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of Jehovah and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Doesn't this sound exciting? a valley. And the Lord took him and set him down in the middle of a valley full of bones. You getting the picture? Let's all say it. Bones. Not just bones, but full of bones. Okay? And he caused me to pass all around them. And there were very many. Let's all say that. Very many. On the surface of the valley. And they were also very dry. Okay, very many, very dry in the valley. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Oh, Lord Jehovah, you know. Amen. That's a good response. It's kind of like, you know. Anyway, Oh, Lord Jehovah, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones.
Yeah.
And say to them, Oh, dry bones, hear the word of Jehovah. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of Jehovah. Oh, you need a word. A word. All these dry bones, very many in the valley. The Lord tells him. Why didn't the Lord just do something? No. He needed Ezekiel. He needed his cooperation. And then I'll skip a verse or two, and then it comes to actually when he responded. Listen to this, and this is verse 37. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Let's all say that. Noise. I get the picture. I prophesied. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all say that. I prophesied. That's good. We'll check in a few minutes. I prophesied. Amen. And there was a what?
Noise.
And suddenly, so I'll say that, suddenly,
suddenly.
A rattling. Oh, suddenly a what?
A rattling.
And the bones came together.
Amen.
Yeah, let's all say amen.
Amen.
Bump your neighbor. Bones came together. Amen. Bone to its bone. Let's all say that. Bone to its
bone.
The bones need some other bones. This is related to even the ones and two, the twos and threes this afternoon, right? We all need our bones. We need other bones. Okay, then, and I looked. There were sinews on them. Okay, let's say that. Sinews. And flesh came back. Let's say flesh.
Flesh.
And skin.
Yes.
Covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, what do you think he said? Prophesy again. Prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord of Jehovah, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. And then listen to this. So I why don't you repeat after me? So I prophesy as he commanded me.
And the breath came into them.
And they lived.
And stood up
upon their feet.
An
exceedingly great army. Isn't this a great picture? This is what happens when we get brought out of the collapse. By life, by the Spirit, coming, being breathed onto us, just spoken to us. It happens when we prophesy. Does this match your prophesying? Maybe you'll learn later in the week. Listen, when you speak, the breath can come and enter into some that are dry and dead. And next thing you know, they get connected with one another. Even there's a. Haven't you ever been in come to a meeting? And you're just not really with it. And then all of a sudden you start singing, you join the Lord a little bit. And then actually you start to kind of get a little crazy. And then that's the rattling. There's a rattling. Look at all what are the young people doing. They're just kind of rattling. But something's happening. They're getting joined to each other. Skin's coming. Sinews, so forth. Next thing you know, they're connected. They rise up, and the Lord has something. The Lord has the ones that have come out of the collapse as an exceedingly great army. This is a picture of what the Lord needs as for those that would be one with Him to be headed up by Christ. Isn't that good? Ezekiel 37. So according to the picture, God's people portrayed as dead, dry, and disjointed bones are enlivened by what? The breath of God, the Spirit of God, to become a corporate body formed into an exceedingly great army. Okay, D, everyone. In order to be delivered from the heap of collapse in a practical way,
we need to grow
in life. The more we grow in life, the more we will be headed up, and the more we will be rescued from the universal
collapse.
Isn't this wonderful? We need to be what? Delivered from the heap in a practical way. So, based on what it says here, what do we need? Exactly. We need the what? Growth. Read it. We need to what? Grow in life. The more we grow in life, the more we will be what? Headed up. Yeah, and rescued from the universal collapse. Praise the Lord. Don't you want to be... Listen, it's so bad out there right now. I mean, I hate to look at the news. You know, it's just depressing. There's just one thing after another. These people were axed today. A bunch of people axed. And people killed. And, it's just murder everywhere. The enemy, Satan, he's a murderer and a liar. And that's all you see everywhere. It's him being expressed. It's terrible. It's a good background for the Lord to get something so beautiful of ones that are being raised up out of the death, out of the collapse, to be one with Him. And it's chaos. Well, I hope there's something in all of us to be rescued, not to be a part of this big heap of collapse. It is really bad. I don't have the words for that. But, you know, I was just thinking about some things, you know, some examples. We need to be rescued. What do we need to be rescued from? You know, we had some fellowship at the beginning, you know, the matter of the iPhone. You know, it was mentioned recently that I stands for idle. Y'all heard that? Idle phone. It can be that. It can be. It can be something. You know, I caught myself, you know, a while back. I'm on Facebook, but I never look at Facebook. Hardly ever. But, you know, I'll do it maybe once a month and once every quarter or something. And then I just can't do it for very long, right? But the last time I did it, I don't know how long ago it was. It was late at night before going to bed. And there was an email. In the email, it's like a Facebook thing. So, look at it. So, next thing you know, I'm over in Facebook. I'm checking it out. And I was there for 2 hours. 2 hours. You just keep going. Oh, really? It's like information city about everybody.
Yeah.
And you can't stop. I mean, I can see how people could get just addicted to this. And I went on, and 2 hours later, what am I doing? I cannot believe I've just been occupied, taken over by Facebook. And I think you all know really what we need is not Facebook. We need FaceBread. Not FaceTime necessarily, but FaceBread. We need to be in His face and join Him. So that was a real warning to me. Listen, it's so easy to just be under the control of so many things in. It's right there on our phone. It's right there on the computer. The whole world. Can you believe what the enemy's done? You know, you remember what the Lord had to go through with Satan? You know, the enemy took him up to the top of the temple and showed him the kingdoms of the world in a glance. He saw it all. And then, it can be yours if you'll fall down and worship me. But listen, he saw it all. Listen, now, today, we're just at the same point. It's all right there.
That's right.
Everything is there. I just can't believe it. It's all there. It's ready to occupy, usurp, keep you in the collapse, totally apart from God's move, totally not doing anything to help Him satisfy His good pleasure, and just under the power of the evil one. I really like what Paul said one time. He said, I will not come under the power of anything. Let's all say that. I will not come under the power of anything. There shouldn't be anything that we come under its power. Yeah. You know, there was a, who was it? Whitney or somebody mentioned, I can't remember, about Facebook. No, let me know, the Cowboys. And you know, years ago, I mean, I grew up in Texas. And if you're in Texas, you're for the Dallas Cowboys. Y'all heard of the Dallas Cowboys? Yeah. Anyway. But you know what? I realize it can be something that just occupies and controls your thoughts, your feelings, your desires. And I got to the point, I don't want this. I don't like being disappointed when they lose. Right? I mean, and there's a song that always comes to me, and that's, and I tell this to the saints when they're disappointed when somebody loses. And it's the song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus Christ, My Righteousness. Anyway, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. That, I don't want to be hoping anything else, you know. And I realize sometimes the Lord, He's so amazing. You know, the Dallas Cowboys, one time they were, you know, I just wouldn't watch it or anything. And then my wife mentioned, the game's almost over. There's 2 minutes left, and they're like two touchdowns ahead. So I came to take a look and, you know, enjoy the last 2 minutes. And guess what? They lost in those 2 minutes. The other team got a field goal and two touchdowns in 2 minutes. In 2 minutes. You know what I realized? There is a God in the universe. And He doesn't care about the Cowboys. He cares about me. All that. I'm going to check with Him one day. You know, all those teams that I used to... Why did they lose? Why did this one lose? Why did the Texas Rangers... They only needed a strike or something. And they lost the whole World Series. You know, why does that? You know what? I'm sure He'll tell me, I love you. You know, I love you. I'm here for your salvation. You know, anyway, He wants to bring us out of all of this. We wouldn't be under the control of anything. Nothing would affect our joy. We just want to stay in the enjoyment of the Lord.
Amen.
Get out of the heap of collapse. And still, the Lord is rescuing me from so many things. I don't know about you, but I've shared it in Cambridge. You know, there's something that's just kind of plagued me. It's honking. I just honk all the time. You know, my car. You ever do that? Let's see. He's more out of the heap of collapse than me. I can't help it. I just honk at everything and everybody. And... And there's so many opportunities. There's so many people that don't know how to drive. And this and that. You know, and I was thinking, I guess it happened yesterday or something. There's somebody at the light, and it's a light, but because it's a walkway, and it's green, and there's some people there, they think, oh, I've got to let these other people go. Does that make sense? No, you don't have to wait for, you have to, it's a green light, you go. The people wait. But she just sat there, and I just honk. And they still wouldn't go, honk. At least three times. And afterwards I realized, I'm just hopeless. I don't know if the Lord will ever get through in this matter. My daughters even, from Texas, you know, in Texas they don't honk. They're all nice, and, you know, southerly gentlemen or whatever it is. But when I got to California and I lived there for a while, especially in West LA, they all honk.
Right.
And it's just honk, honk, honk. You know, like, oh, you're moving in front of me? Honk. There's place for two cars, but you're still moving in front. They, not me. They would do that. They would honk. And I realized, wow, they just honk at everybody. So I just started honk. So my daughters came from Texas one time. They're in the car with me, and they said, Dad, what happened to you? why do you honk all the time? So anyway, the Lord's working on me. You know, I need to get more out of the collapse. There's this point one. It says, if we try to be headed up without growing life, we fall into organization.
Yeah.
The proper heading up is the growing of life. I also think of, I'll tell another story. This is a story of my wife. And I can say this because it was mentioned in a Itero one time. I mean, a big conference, and Benson called my wife out and mentioned something. But anyway, it's okay. My wife, when she came to the church life, she came out of, she just wasn't in anything. You know, she's just a non-believer. But until she got saved on the college campus, she didn't know anything about the Lord. And she grew up in New Orleans. And so they do certain things there. And she came into the church life, and she was there with a bunch of others, and they were just smoking all the time. They just smoked. But she's saved, and she joined the church life.
Yeah.
And you know what they did? You know, they'd go to the meetings, and after the meeting, they're just outside the meeting. Boy, that was a good meeting. Man, I really like that matter, the release of the Spirit. Amen. And there's a whole crew of them. They're all just smoking up a storm. This was normal in those days. You know, there are a bunch of those back. They just came out of the world into the church life. But I appreciate this. No one said anything to them about, I don't know, cigarettes are bad, or, you know, in the church life, you know. No, there's no rules, regulations. We trust life.
Right.
Life can bring them out of the collapse.
Right.
Slowly. Well, one time she went to a brother's house, a bunch of them, and back then, they smoked in the houses. So the saints, they weren't used to it, but you had all these new ones coming in, and they all smoked. And you bring them to their house, and one brother came home, and they were there eating, and the place was full of smoke. And he came in, and he said, whoa, the Shekinah glory of God. It's a good response. It's very positive, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, they didn't know what to do. What do we do with these ashes? What do we give them? You know, they just, you know, they're ashes. Give them a bowl or something. They didn't have ashtrays. But anyway, the fact is, the Lord just little by little, by life, gained them one at a time. My wife would, she said they would drive from Baton Rouge to Houston, and she'd be smoking, and she'd be trying to stop smoking. And so she would, she'd throw her cigarette out the window, and then she'd get another one. And then next she'd throw the whole pack out the window, which wasn't good anyway. But next thing you know, she said she would just pull into a 7-Eleven and get another pack. But the day came when she was just, you know, she just would pray about it, touch the Lord. And the day came when she woke up in the morning and she looked at her fingers and they smelled, and she was so disgusted. You know, just from the life growing in her. The life was growing. And she said, after that, she could never touch a cigarette. It was gone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for life.
Amen.
The factor of life overcomes all the heap of collapse. Don't you believe that?
Yes.
And then there's this next point. When we grow in life, we have the light of life. And under this light, everything is kept in order. You know, the light of life. You know, this is a testimony you've heard before, some of you, but I came to a meeting in the early days, and I was enjoying life. And you know, in John 1, 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light. And so I'm in the meeting enjoying life. And then after the meeting, a brother comes up to say hello. Well, I had a T-shirt, and I think you've heard this, but... And it wasn't an angry bird, but it was an angry peacock. And it was, you know, T-shirt was just colorful, but this angry, you know, peacock face on it. And I thought it was cool. But this brother, he just came up to me and just, oh, hi, what is your name? He just looked at it, just glanced at it for a second. You know, he couldn't help it, you know. But for me, the life became light. I just realized, what am I doing? Why did I wear that? You know. Anyway, he shined on me, and I just had a turn, and I destroyed it. Hallelujah. I just got a little bit more out of the heap of collapse. How? By life. We can trust what?
Life.
Let's say it again. Life.
Life
wins. So I'll say that. Hiram? Amen. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, in Revelation, there's no night there. Praise the Lord. Everything is full of light. Now I want to go to the last section here. Let's see. E altogether. The church life is a life of being headed up. If we do not know what is to be headed up in Christ, we cannot know what the church is. Roman numeral 5. When the church takes the lead to be headed up in Christ, God has a way to head up all other things. Saints, I hope you would be impressed with this. Eventually, when the church takes the lead to be headed up in Christ, which is what God needs, He has a way to head up all other things. I hope this would impress you. You know, you can't just take this message and dismiss it. You know, like, yeah, the church needs to be headed up. No, that's true. The church needs to be headed up, but it starts with what? You and me. Starts with me. Let's all say with me. Yes, the Lord needs to head me up. And this is what we need to offer ourselves to the Lord. Lord, start with me. I want to be part of those that are headed up in the universe, headed up on this earth, so you can head up everything in the universe. Lord, I want to be part of those that head it up, that you can head up everything. The church is the vessel used by God to solve His problems and to fulfill His purpose, which is to manifest Himself through man by mingling Himself with man. B, eventually the body with Christ as a head will be the universal head over all things. You remember that in Ephesians 1:22. He gave Him to be head over all things to the church. Let's all say that, to the church. He gave Him to be head over all things. But then what? To the church. See, he is there. Everything has been put under His feet. And everything's been subjected to Him. Now, He wants to transmit that headship to us. We need to be those touching Him, turning to Him, enjoying a transmission from Him, so that this one who is head over all things can transmit that headship to us. That doesn't mean we're the king, but we can share in the headship. We share in His kingship, right? We want to come under Him, and we can't do it unless we touch Him. Lord Jesus, when we touch Him, what do we get? We get a transmission. What happens every time you turn to Him and call on His name? Right. Lord, there is a transmission from this one who is over all. Right. And that supplies us what is needed to bring us out of the collapse, to head us up. Now then, I want to get to these last couple of points, because I was just so impressed with this in the past, and I'm impressed freshly. See, it says, let's read this. During the age of the millennial, there will be an absolute peace and harmony Amen. So eventually, saints, He is going to, there will be a restoration on this earth. And I hope you would really, you'd be believers. Just believe the word. He is going to restore this earth. He's going to bring in righteousness and peace. And His kingdom will be set up. He is going to head up everything in the universe. Do you believe it? Brian, do you believe it? Really? Amen. He will. He will. You know, in Romans, there are some verses that were referred to earlier. And I just want to remind you of these verses. You may not have ever paid much attention to these. But you have to realize, when there's a collapse, it wasn't just mankind that collapse, but the whole creation was brought into collapse. Do you realize that? You and the whole creation collapsed. Now, we may think, well, that's so what? Listen to these verses in Romans 8:19. for the anxious watching of the creation eagerly awaits the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not of its own will, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be freed from the slavery of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Believe it or not, all of creation is in a collapse. It's subject to vanity. What does it say? It's subject to vanity. It's waiting to be freed from the slavery of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Do you realize that one day, through those that are being headed up, we will be responsible to help bring the whole creation out of the collapse?
Amen.
You don't understand what that means, do you? It's so amazing to me. Do you realize that when man fell, you know, when Nathan and all of us fell, I mean Andrew, when they fell, the creation lost headship. Man was made to be head over everything. You know, they were supposed to be over creation. But guess what? The trees and the hills and the mountains, they lost meaning. Now they're what? They're subject to vanity because they have no head. The man that God made, he fell, he got injected with death. Now creation has no meaning. It's just vanity. They're just there, pretty trees, pretty this or that. But they're waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. They're waiting for the believers who are one with Him to be headed up so that they eventually can be freed from the vanity, freed from corruption. And then eventually there will be a big praise in the universe.
Amen.
They'll be freed by the glory of the sons of God.
Amen.
And then there's some verses that are mentioned here in Isaiah and in Psalms. And I just will read them to you. Listen, what's going to happen? This is Isaiah 2:4. And He will judge between the nations and will decide matters for many people. And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning knives. Eventually, you know what's going to happen? Spears will become something useful for plowing, for fruit bearing. You know, spears will be pruning knives. Nations will not lift up a sword against a nation, nor will they learn war anymore.
Amen.
Nor will they learn war anymore.
Amen.
This is what we're bringing in, saints, by the Lord heading us up and us being willing to be headed up. Listen, the whole creation is going to be freed. And eventually, in the nations, there will no more war. And there's even more. Listen to this. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb. And the leopard will lie down with the kid. And the calf, the young lion, and the fatling together. And a young boy will be lead them about. This is the animal kingdom. Listen, there'll be peace, harmony in the animal kingdom. Isn't that amazing? This is going to happen. Are you believers?
Amen.
Amen. Then, what about the creation? This is what's going to happen. I love this. For you will go out with rejoicing and you will be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you with a ringing shout. I don't understand it, but listen. The mountains and the hills are going to be shouting. They're going to be restored. This is the restored earth. And the trees of the field will clap their hands. Just consider all the trees. You have to, when you go out and look at trees, you have to say, oh, I'm sorry, trees, you're under bondage right now. You're under vanity. One day you're going to clap your hands. You'll see the glory of the children of God. The ones that will be headed up in Christ. Well, I'm going to help bring you into enjoyment. I know that's crazy, isn't it? Let the field and all that is in it exult. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. The trees will sing for joy. Anyway, doesn't this sound exciting?
Amen.
Ultimately, the verses are not on your memory verses, but eventually what the Lord does in heading us up in Christ it will result in a universal praise of the glory, the expression of His grace that worked in every one of you. You don't get it. But anyway, it's wonderful. Praise the Lord. I think that's it. Let's read the focus. Wherever that is. The hidden mystery in God's eternal economy is that God desires to head up all things in Christ through the church. Therefore, we must be delivered from the heap of collapse and take the lead to be headed up in Christ so that God has a way to be
headed up all things.
And one point that I forgot to mention, and this is very important because it has to do with how do we get headed up? How do we get headed up? There's two verses that really, and in particular one, that really touched me. And that's, let me see, find it. Colossians 2:19 and Ephesians 4:15. It says, "And not holding the head, out from whom all the body, being richly supplied and knit together by means of the joints and sinews, grows with the growth of God." So we do know we need to grow in life. This is how we get headed up. But then this other verse to me is a key. This is one little key. You'll get more this week from everyone, but this is what I really hope you would get. And that is Ephesians 4:15. This is under point D, under Roman numeral 4. Ephesians 4:15, it says, "But holding to truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, Christ." So in this verse, it says, holding to truth. And in the context of truth in that chapter, is it's Christ with the body. It's Christ in the church. And so the verse says, holding to Christ and the church in love, we grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, Christ. Do you understand that, Mike? Mystery, huh? 'Tis mystery all. Listen, to me, in my experience, the more I love the Lord and I love the members of the body, I love the church, I love the church meetings, I love Christ, and I tell the Lord I love Him, guess what happens? There's a little growth goes on. And we grow up into Him a little more in all things, who is the head. So we get headed up. How? Tell me. By holding the head, Christ and the church. What? In love. Let's all say that. In love. So what do we need to do? Love the Lord.
Amen.
Love the body.
Amen.
Then we grow up into Him in all things. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So some testimonies. Amen.
How about we pray with